You all are in for a treat tonight. Come right up. Absolutely. Two new babies in the same day. I sanitize myself. Good evening, Indy. How are you? Come, let me ask you a few questions. This is Indy Harned. The Harned, she was premature. And how much did she weigh when she was born?
1 pound, 10 ounces.
1 pound and 10 ounces. And you need to thank the Lord for this little miracle. Absolutely. And you remember Jonathan, we have another preemie over there right now that was about that same size. He is now over 3 pounds. Oh. I married the Harneds on the east end of Cincinnati how many years ago?
Just over 2 years.
2 years ago, and they wanted to have a blessed baby. And isn't she just fabulous? And we are just so blessed. And I don't know any better way to start this service than to thank the Lord for Indy and just praise God for his great blessings. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you tonight. Oh Lord, I long for the day that I could introduce this walking miracle to this church family. And Lord, how many hours and how many days and how many months did Mom and Dad stand by the bedside of that little sealed crib, and here we see today you finishing knitting together this beautiful baby of great hope and joy. I ask right now that you'll bless this sweet family with your power and your presence, and may they feel tonight the prayers of the saints and the joy that we have because of your great gift. Thank you now, Lord, in the matchless name of the Savior of life and life more abundant. I pray you bless Indy with your spirit. May she hear the story of how you carried her through in the most difficult of days, and how she is here today because of your hand and because of the prayers of the saints. And we thank you for her in Jesus' matchless name. And amen. Give the Lord a hand again. Oh my goodness. I didn't think she could get prettier, but she did. She did. Thank you, Tanner. Thank you all so much. We have had so many good things happen today, and I am thankful. Let me just share a few announcements with you. Don't forget, we have deacons' meeting directly after church tonight. We will move there as quickly as possible. I've got it up there. Don't forget, there's a wonderful number of ladies signed up for the fall women's retreat. There might still be time. If you'll see Deb, she'd be glad to get you signed in for that. We also have a gospel concert coming up with the Hoppers later on this month. Please review your bulletin. Please remember also, if you will, the Fall Festival on the 29th and lots of other activities during the month of October. I have gotten the first draft of the job descriptions for the new ministry teams. I'm going to share that with the deacons tonight. I've already shared it with the Dream Team that helped me do the survey and things like that. They're just going to help me edit it and bring it up to speed. It's now one big full page. I don't know whether it needs to be that big or not. So I'd like to condense it a little bit to where the job description is not scary. Dan, do you see this little baby here? This is Indy Harned. Dan's grandson is over in the children's NICU. She was 1 pound and 10 ounces when she was born. Amen. Amen. Isn't it good? Good to be here. So we're thankful for that. Any other announcement we need to make? Don't forget to pray for Justin, baptized this morning. What a fabulous young man. He's been coming here about 2.5 years. Went to youth camp this last summer that you sponsored, and made a profession of faith, and Colin walked him through all of this. And then we have a great baptismal team that just takes care of things. Sam and Ed, Di, Smith, different ones. Just so good to us, and we're blessed because of that. Let me give you one more thing before we leave. The family that was here this morning was a Roma family. They are Russian Orthodox in their background. We spoke to them through a translating program on their phone. And what they needed, what they really wanted, was money. We do not give out money. Anytime that someone comes to church and stands on the front steps of the porch, please let me or one of the deacons take care of them. It's our job to do that. If you give them money, that's all I'll ever get done. And we want to meet their need. They showed me a bill. I have it on my phone for a rental unit, $1,247. I offered them groceries, offered them gasoline, and they already had that from other churches. And they may show back up this evening, but just keep in mind, the Good Things Fund, God always blesses us. If we ever get low on the Good Things Fund, you know what I do. I let you know, and you give, and we build that back up. We're constantly giving that out, paying for utilities. Folks do not have to go to our church to get the benefit of that, but they do have to provide us with a picture ID and a proven need. If they provide us with a picture ID and a proven need, guess what I do? I usually pay it online, print out a receipt, I give it to Miriam, we sign a PO, we send it to the treasurers, and they pay it out of the Good Things Fund. They always reimburse me. But just keep in mind, where we are so visible and so accessible. I wish I could help everybody, but you can't help people with what they think they need. You have to help them with their needs. And that's what we try to do. I hope that doesn't sound uncaring or cold. I hope that you understand that we want to be very proactive with those kinds of things. But when you show up on Sunday morning, was I busy this morning? I was kind of in a gear. Harold Combs stepped up. Thank you, Harold. And others did too. And I appreciate our safety team and all of those. They were well taken care of. And we're still working to try to make sure that we do not prejudice the gospel or miss opportunities to bless people if we can. Does that help? Okay. Thank you for being here tonight. Jackie's going to lead us in a hymn. I'll tap somebody to pray. And actually, I'm going to ask Dan to pray for Indy and the Harnids and the rest of the prayer needs. Kathleen Burkhart was here this morning. She left this morning, and this was said in public, so this is not private counseling. Kathleen said, "Brother Rick, I've needed to hear this sermon for 5 years. And I said, "Could I come and visit Bob?" And Kathleen said, "Bob won't even know you're there." So please pray for Kathleen and Bob. Please lift them up. We have so many others that are recuperating from other procedures. David, I'm so glad to see you all here tonight, kind of down in the back, and many others. Rita Hernandez is waiting on a biopsy from her kidney. We have others that are improving and getting better. But let's just make sure we don't forget those that are in need. God bless you for being here. Miss Jackie, would you help us?
Yes, I certainly will. As I've been preparing music the past several weeks, maybe a month, for Sunday nights in the study of Amos and Wednesday nights the study of Babylon, I'm struck more and more how music can help us avoid the situations that the Israelites found themselves in, because it comes from Scripture. Scripture first, always Scripture first. But some of us retain a little better with music, and it reaches our hearts a little more easily. And so, this evening, after reading over Rick's lesson notes, I was just led to these few songs to sort of set the table for him and to lead you into the Lord's presence and preparing ourselves to be a sanctuary. So if you're physically able, why don't you stand up and join us as we sing these two songs.
To be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not
you're still standing, I'm going to ask Brother Dan Reynolds, if he will, pray God's blessing on this evening and this sweet fellowship that we enjoy.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, it is truly a privilege to be in your house this evening on this beautiful day. We're thankful for the warmth of the sunshine, for the strength that you give us to join in this time of worship. And Father, I just pray that you will take complete charge of this time we have here together, that we will be free from all of the outside distractions, that we will be laser focused on what you have for us to hear tonight. Father, I pray that you will be with our pastor as he leads us in the teaching of your word. I pray that our ears and our very hearts will be very attentive in what you are speaking to us upon. And Father, I just ask that we will be doers of your word and not just hearers. We are so blessed with Indy and her parents.
Yes.
Thank you for the testimony.
Thank you, Lord.
How you show us your miraculous works.
Yes.
May we not take any of that for granted.
Please.
May we praise you in all things. Father, for those who are here today, who perhaps are struggling with the struggles of this life, may we be reminded that this is temporary.
Yes.
You are eternal. Father, as we just sang a few moments ago, it's not that we have to be a sanctuary. It's that we get to be a sanctuary.
Yes.
We praise you for that opportunity. We look to you for guidance, direction. And Father, may we never, ever say no when you call us to do something. We want to take your love and mercy to others. And Father, give us that strength to do that. For we ask these things through Jesus, our loving Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Take your copy of God's Word. Look over at the Old Testament book of Amos, chapter 4. I'm going to try to teach fast to give you a little break. Beautiful sunshine. We want to get out of here while it's still daylight. Time change is still in about a month, maybe a little over a month. And that will even make it more difficult on Sunday evenings. Amen. Had 10 new children in children's ministry this morning.
I
Amen. And we've had, have you noticed, others have, so many young couples coming back to church, some who left during COVID and are now making their way back because they realize the hunger that they have cannot be satisfied online. We're glad to have that if you're sick, if you're out in the hospital or whatever else. But beloved, there's nothing like being here with the saints of God. Just nothing like it. I would mention to you, and I've had two people this week ask me if I would teach on this topic. And let me kind of frame it this way. We're going to finish Babylon, the new Babylon we've studied this next Wednesday. And the second Wednesday of October, we're going to start on a new study around how to die well and what happens after you die. So I want to teach on legacy living, that you could live your life that matters, these balance of days, however long we have. But when you die, what happens? And we're going to, I could think this could be months and months teaching on this. So we'll begin that the second Wednesday of October. So we'll start this new series, and I think it will be, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be well worth my time, and I pray you'll consider it. And something, there's so many people that are afraid to die. And for believers, I want to help that. I want to reduce that number to give you the comfort, the confidence, and the cure for fear. And through this process, I want to try to give you that because I realize the devil and the demons don't want you to do that. They want you to walk in fear. They want you to shudder when we start having to talk about funerals and everything else that happens after that. So it'll be something that will be productive and practical. So we'll do that the second Wednesday of October. If I mention the name Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos, what do you think of? Me too. Shoes. Excess. And whenever I started to do the research, I remembered that Imelda Marcos, they had $20 billion in Swiss bank accounts that they had obscured from their country. Imelda's shoes. She had five separate rooms in the presidential palace and had over 1,220 pairs of shoes. She had 500 gowns, 300 bras, one that was bulletproof. Well, maybe. But what I'm saying is, I just wonder about, I know I've been in the country that Ferdinand was the president of, and there are two classes of people, the haves and the have-nots. And the have-nots have no shoes. I remember visiting one family on the island of Negros Oriental, and a father and a mother were so gracious to offer me room in their hut. And I came in and they put a fan on me, and I sat down and I talked with them through an interpreter. And they had seven children in a one-room hut and one pair of shoes for the kids. And every kid got a day of the week in the shoes, no matter what size their feet were. And I thought I was poor growing up. But could you imagine the contrast of that? This is the type of contrast that you're seeing in the northern kingdom of Israel in the days that Amos was called out of the country village of Tekoa to go to the northern kingdom, and they were oppressing the poor, using them as chattel and just a means to an end. So when I think about this, God in chapter 4 gives a divine rebuke for the northern kingdom because of their mistreatment of the poor, especially women and orphans. And I'm not talking about equity. That's not what I'm talking about. I am not a woke pastor. What I am talking about is honesty and integrity in how we treat people. We, in Scripture, are challenged to treat people with dignity. and to not do what was happening in the Northern Kingdom, like what was happening in the country where Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos were the king and queen of that country. So if you will, let's read this chapter. I'd like to begin by the first three verses of the book of Amos chapter 4. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan. Now, who was Amos talking to? He was talking to the women, the rich women in the northern kingdom, and he was calling them heifers. I'm sure that went over like a lead balloon. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring wine, let us drink. And the Lord God has sworn by his holiness, behold, the day shall come upon you when he will take you away with fish hooks and your prosperity with fish hooks. Now, in that graphic word picture that you see, that was one of the common ways that they kept people in control. They would bind their hands behind their backs. They would take large hooks and run it through their jaw like you would a wild fish, a wild game, or something like that. Like we would put fish on a stringer when we were kids, and that they would be led away. So Amos stands here and he preaches this very judgmental message on the people of the northern kingdom. Notice what he says in verse 3. You will go out through broken walls, each one straight ahead of her, and you will be cast into Harmon, says the Lord. We try to understand this. This is a group of people that had grown to the place to where they were pampered. And please note, I have had a teacher in northern Kentucky say, even though I misspelled luxury on that first point, he's going to give me a pass because I spelled so many other good words right. I know luxury is spelled L-U-X-U-R-Y, not A-R-Y. And my wife is here someplace. Where are you at, Faith? Thank you for not shaming me in front of everybody. Faith proofread for a living some years ago, and she'll ask me, why did you not let me proofread this? Because she has lots of other things to take care of. I'm not nearly as concerned about proofreading as I am about getting lunch. When we look at this, Bashan is the Transjordan Plain in Galilee. We stood there in April of this year, overlooking the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. And what has happened there, this is the most fertile part of the Transjordan Valley. In that mountaintop, there are two colors. There is the beautiful green growth surrounding the north side of the Sea of Galilee and the cobalt blue water of the Sea of Galilee. It's fed by that little stream from the northern snowed highlands, and it transfers all the way to the south through the Jordan River. And what is not consumed out of the Jordan River, the last little bit goes on to the Dead Sea and it evaporates there. This northern part of the Transjordan Valley is absolutely a fertile place to grow anything. We talked a little bit this morning about the importance of the quality of the soil of our hearts. In northern Israel, this area produces some of the most beautiful, sweetest. They're about the size of a clementine tangerine, and they have no seeds in them. They've engineered them. And when you eat them, it's like honey dripping off your chin. It is rich, it is full, it is flourishing, it is a place of great bounty. The problem is, and when the heifers of Bashan were there, they were using the poor people and keeping them at bay. And Amos scorned them. He scorned their husbands. And when he calls them masters in this verse, he meant for them to be the lords or the spiritual leaders of their house. And they were not. And in this case, the women had taken over completely. And what they had done, and let me say this, I'll be honest. And completely honest, In the culture that I was raised in, the women were usually the last one to give up the morals. In fact, if you see many places in the world today where alcoholism is rampant, the women have to be the strong ones. And if you've been raised in the hills of the Appalachian Mountains, where moonshine was king for so many years, and even during the coal field wars and the dryness, the counties that were dry counties, I was the chaplain at the worst rated county jail in the state of Kentucky in the mid 70s. The jailer was the biggest bootlegger in the county. He had a drive-through under the bridge near the Cumberland River in a dry county. And this was going on under the nose of all the other law enforcement, state police included, and yet he was insulated and protected by the county government. What happened in those hillside places that I was raised in, the women had to be strong, and the women were the bastions of faith. The women were the bastions of family. The women were the bastions of morals. And they were the ones that kept the communities going. So many times, I'm not saying there weren't any good men, but I'm saying the vast majority were women who had to be strong, because anything less would have devastated the family. In this case, Amos calls out the women, and he calls out the men, the rich women, and he challenges them that they're going to be judged. In this instance, we see that the Lord is going to reveal his holiness, and what they have thought was protection and safety, even the walls are going to be overrun. Now, Brother Rick, why would you tell us this these thousands of years later? America is in the same predicament today. We stand here today with hand over fist blessings. The world, the six superpowers of the world are all going through financial depression. How do I know that? Part of that is because the yen and the Deutschmark and the British pound and the euro has reduced. 15 years ago, when we were building churches in Eastern Europe, the euro was between $1.31 and $1.35. You know what a euro was yesterday? 94 cents. You're talking about a 35% decrease. If you go to Europe right now, It's like getting it for 35% off, because the U.S. dollar, even with all of our difficulties, has kept pace, and they're talking about how that could change overnight. There will always be gloom and doomers. What we have to be is to be reasonable with one another, honorable to a holy God, and we need to treat people with respect no matter where they are in the financial scheme of this country. Everyone is important. The scripture tells us this in the first three verses, and the little children's song reminds us of it. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. So God does love the children of the world. We're going to sing about that in the choir this next Sunday. So when we look at this, I would ask you, could you imagine yourself when you were just a wee child, living with what you have right now? I couldn't. I never thought I'd make it out of Lawrence County. I thought I'd probably drive to the coal fields or the steel mills. Might, if I was fortunate, have a good job on the railroad. And I thought I was stuck. It was a mindset that I was raised in. Thankfully, God had a much, much better idea. But I'll say this. If my grandmother walked in my house today, she would say, "Who did you kill to have to get this?" it's absolutely blessed. And I don't give anyone credit but God, keeping Faith and I healthy, keeping us. And let me tell you, money is not sinful. No, don't you ever think that. It takes money. It took money to run the ministry of Jesus. Money is not sinful. It is the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. And yet money's important. We have to have it. Here we sit in a day where the vast majority of the world is going through a depression, not just a recession, and America is sitting on a gold mine, and if we're not very careful, we're going to be just like the Northern Kingdom, and we will oppress the poor. And sadly, we're giving, we've torn down our borders to where now we have millions upon millions that we have no means to care for. And guess what will happen to them and their children? And God says we ought to be kind to the immigrant. Says that in Scripture. But beloved, when we start to add all of this up, are we kind to our own countrymen? Are we kind to our senior adults? Are we kind to our veterans? Are we kind to our needy here in this country? I think we are reaping, we're sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind. Living in the lap of luxury. Not luxury, but luxury. Verses 4 and 5, look at devoted to duty. Amos says, come to Bethel. Now, I want to stop right there for just a moment. What is Bethel or Bethel? It is the first place that they built an altar. You remember that Jacob, let's see, no. The two children of Israel that came out of the wilderness, give me this mountain. My brain is in a different place right now. Joshua and Caleb, thank you. I was straining for that. Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb came out of there, the first place that they built an altar, really to honor Abraham, was at Bethel. They remember, they asked them to pick up the 12 stones. Every tribe was to pick up a stone, and they were put it at Bethel. And this was one of the places they were challenged. They said, "Is wherever your foot trods is yours." That's what God told them. Now, when we come to this, they come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Proclaim and announce the freewill offering. For this you love, you children of Israel, says the Lord God. Now, when I look at this, they had devotion to idol worship. This is sarcasm. Sermonic sarcasm, that's exactly what this is. Amos is saying, will you do this? You'd give these offerings, you come and bring tithes every 3 days. They had taken Bethel, this place of the worship of Almighty God, and turned it into an idolatrous place that they practiced the worship of Dagon and the foreign gods that were dead and had no power. So when we gather together, they practiced religion faithfully. They were highly religious. They were just religious toward dead gods. And this was written to the whole nation. In fact, this devotion, what part of our devotion to God is a token nod? What part of our devotion honors God with our lips but not with our lives? If you will, turn over to Psalm 94 and verse 6. Psalm 94 and verse 6. This is what it says. It's on your screen too. I appreciate you for looking this up. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. And let me stop right here. I can understand why people want to come to America. I've been other places. I've seen the poverty and the pain and the terrible government and the like. I'm not judging people who want to be immigrants here. That's how we got here. You got here as an immigrant. Our family is all Scotch-Irish. A few Italians mixed in there, but mostly Scotch-Irish. We're all immigrants. The problem is, when we came for a better life. Do you think people coming to this country want anything less than that? So when we start doing this, that's what Psalm 94:6 says. They slay the widow. Why? Because she has no protection. She has no one to stand for her, and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. So each time God brings up these three categories of citizens, the stranger or the immigrant, the widow who has no protection, or the fatherless who has no protection, and this is the same shame in the book of Psalms. Do you remember how Nathan called out David in the Psalms? Because of an injustice, Nathan, that old bony-fingered prophet, stood before David and said, I just need to share this story with you. There's a man who had a field full of sheep. Sheep as far as the eye could see, and his neighbor had one little lamb. And that man who had a field of sheep broke down the fence and went and took that lamb, slayed the owner, and took his lamb back to the field of sheep. What do you think ought to happen to that man? And David, who had lost his joy of salvation, who had lost his direction, in his unrighteous indignation, said, "You tell me who that man is, and I will take care of him." And Nathan quickly and bravely said, "You are that man." That's where we get the story, actually the end up of the story of Bathsheba and Uriah and all of those. This is the great picture that we see here, that God hates those who take advantage of the poor, of the widows, of the unprotected, and of the immigrants. And in this case, God is going to judge. Do you think the immigrants coming to this country today are not going to be abused? Well, they're in America. This is the land of the free, home of the brave. Beloved, in these major cities, they're going to be abused right and left. We have a lot of these major cities won't even protect their own citizens, much less these immigrants, and I feel for them. We may well have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Deb Mullins, and I talked this week, is going over to the racetrack, to the back side of that racetrack where they take care of the animals, and we have a paid-for minister through the Eliza Broaddus offering that is there every week, meeting needs, sharing Jesus, telling these folks about Jesus. Should that not be what we're doing? Beloved, that is the call that we have, to protect these. So they have a high level of religion in the northern kingdom. And when I think about Gilgal, it was one of those first campgrounds of the freed children of Israel. And they crossed over the land. That's where they put the 12 stones at Bethel and those other places. But how quick we forget. I don't think it's any coincidence that Dan paused in the middle of his prayer and said, "Lord, don't let us forget your blessings." Because we all too often forget. I challenge you today that we as a people need to be about God's business, but when we forget from whom all blessings flow, guess what? His blessings stop. God will not bless our disobedience. No matter how faithful your grandparents were, no matter how faithful your parents were, you and I need to be faithful to God. And that's one of the things that we're going to touch on this legacy living that we've promoted. Number three, look at verses 6 through 11, and I think we might get through this. They were deaf to discipline. Not only were they living in luxury, they were devoted to duty, they were deaf to discipline. Verse 6, they slay the widow with the stranger and murder the fatherless, yet they say, "The Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. I'll stop there. Would you take a moment right now and remember a time when you wandered from God? Now, you may have kept coming to church, but your mind and your heart was way off. Beloved, there are times that I've backslidden after church on Sunday night. I know that feeling. I know how easy it is, how prone, how predictable our wandering is if we don't keep on track. That's one of the things that we have a love-hate relationship with GPS, don't we? You pull up GPS. We went to the schoolhouse the other night with our adults, and I plugged in the address of the schoolhouse, and it took me right to the place. I'd never been there before. Nobody said boo, kiss my foot, or nothing. We drove up. I drove in the entrance, came out the exit. Everybody had a good time. And on the way out, I had the voice on my GPS turned off of that Nagavator. You know what I mean, don't you? But I could see it on the map. It wanted me to turn left. I turned left. And I said, this isn't right. And I turned another. It took me around the block and back out to where I was. And you know what? We had so many kind folks on the bus. Nobody said, Brother Rick, are we going on the scenic route? We just went around the block and came back out to 275. But we all too often turn the voice off on our spiritual navigation. Not God, our navigation. That goes along with a luxury, okay? But we're deaf to the discipline. How long has it been? Only you can answer that. But let me ask you the question, what brought you back? What stopped you from wandering? I'll guarantee you, I know what it was. Is you either heard the voice of God correct you, that internal, still small voice speak your name and tell you the truth, or God's discipline? And what does God do sometimes to discipline us? He just takes a step back and removes that hedge of protection around our life, and our life begins to fall apart. And we start crying out to God. And then when God starts to whisper our name, our ears are pointed to Him. We hear His voice. We want to know Him better. And truly, Amos describes this. Today, I'm afraid America, their ears, the ears of this country are deaf to the voice of God. And it's sad. Breaks my heart that God longs to challenge us to repent. He calls us to repent. He gives us an option for restoration. And the only place, let me say one of the few places that I see a glimmer of hope are in the younger generation that are stepping up and coming back to church. I saw it at Asbury campus back in the spring. I'm seeing it in other places in the world. God is still giving people the opportunity to revive and restore and be regenerated by His blood. But the problem is the famine, the drought, the crop disease, the locusts, the plagues, the wars, all of these catastrophes haven't come to America since September the 11th, 2001. 22 years of blessings, and how many people are singing the doxology today? Verse 6, I look at that again. It's kind of an unusual scripture. Let me go back to that and see. Okay. I'll hold off on that. Finally, look at verses 12 and 13. Amos 12. I think it's wonderful the way that Amos writes here. I'm sure it's inspired by God. And he challenges them to be blessed. Let me go back to Amos. I'm back in Psalms again, aren't I? There we go. Amos 4:6. Let me read 4:6 and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Also, I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. You know what that means? There's nothing to eat. I mean, do you ever go to the steakhouse and leave thinking, boy, I wish I had a toothpick. They don't have to worry about that because there's nothing to eat. A lack of bread in all your places. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I also withheld rain from you when there were still 3 months to the harvest. I made it rain on one city. I withheld rain from another city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, the part withered. So two or three cities wandered to another city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, said the Lord. Says the Lord, I blasted you with blight and mildew. Let me take you back to the hills. Back in the day when I was just a punk, I could make pretty good money in the tobacco fields. People would call my granny, and granny would farm me out to these different farms. And tobacco needs rain early in the spring, and then it needs to dry out, and then it needs a second rain to flourish. If it keeps raining, then there's a mildew that falls on the tobacco leaf that makes it worthless. Now the problem is if tobacco is your cash crop and your tobacco mildews, you know how much it's worth when you take it to market? Zero. That's what God says in this passage. When your gardens increased, your vineyards, your fig trees, and your olive trees, the locusts devoured them, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I sent among you a plague after the manner of Egypt. Your young men I killed with a sword, along with your captive horses. I made the stench of your camps come up into your nostrils. You have not returned to me, says the Lord. And all of this is prophetic. It's about to happen sometime in the future. And then verse 11. I overthrew some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand plucked from the burning, yet you have not returned to me. Do you see the repetition of that phrase, says the Lord? And then verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. I'll stop there. Let's read one more verse. For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name. How this chapter starts and how it is winding down is radically different. But there is that phrase, prepare to meet your Maker. Now, Jackie is very explicit and intentional when she chooses these songs every Sunday. And one of the songs we sang today reminded us of the time that is coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Beloved, we stand here tonight. What should America expect if it does not honor and return to Holy God? J-U-D-G-E-M-E-N-T, judgment. Did I spell that right, teachers? Barely, thank you, thank you. I mean, I get it. Now, you know what? I love spell check on my computer. I hate spell check on my phone. Because it doesn't just check my spelling, it writes in there what it thinks I mean. That's that chat DPT guy. that elevated intelligence. Looking back on what is about to happen to the northern kingdom of Israel, should we have sympathy? Absolutely. Will sympathy change what is going to happen? Absolutely not. And the same is true of America today. Should we have sympathy on those that abuse the children and destroy the widows and the foreigners in their place? We should. But beloved, in the process, there is always going to be a remnant that has the opportunity to repent. And some of it is here at First Baptist Church tonight. Repent from dead works. Repent from religion without relationship. Repent from thinking of self without thinking of others and seeing what we can do to help. Question or comment? Thank you, Marguerite. I appreciate it. These are not easy messages to hear. They're very plain to come together, but I feel convicted personally of these things. They are not easy to hear, but they're necessary to hear if we would be serious with God. Jackie is still downstairs with the children, with joy and music. Colin is downstairs with the youth, doing their work there, doing this mighty work. So let's just have a hymn of invitation. If you're able, stand with us. And I'm going to lead you in a hymn you won't need even a page for. And I hope you know what I mean when I lead this. And you won't need a book. You already know the song. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. And it's good enough for me. It was good for the prophet Amos. It was good for the prophet Amos. It was good for the prophet Amos, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, and it's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. And it's good enough for me. And I think that song talks about scripturally pure religion and undefiled, that treats widows and orphans with dignity and strangers in our gates. God bless you. Good night. Thank you for being here. Please.
Deacons are going to start out with the children.
Okay. Deacons are going to head over to the children's area. We're going to kind of take a tour.